Chapter 9. Things worth doing are usually hard, Ms. Starr said. But so what? We're not afraid of hard work, are we? It had taken Ms. Starr and the seventh grade teacher 10 minutes to coax the orange kitten down from the top of the cupboard. The calico had fled down the hall and out the door, but had luckily been found underneath a radiator. Now things were back to normal. Pepper had returned and slumped in her chair. I'm here to work with you, with all of you, Ms. Starr continued. She gave a short nod, as if that settled matters. Marigold, you're next. The girl with the hearing aid stood up.
I'm Marigold, and my parents live 3 hours away, she said. I moved in with my grandparents so I could come to this program. My grandparents let me watch as much TV as I want, so that part's good, but I miss my family.
Me too, Nori thought. Marigold went on.
I'm not upside down exactly. I mean, not an opposite. I'm...
Whatever Marigold was, she couldn't find the right words for it, or else she didn't want to say them out loud.
It's okay. Just show us your magic, Ms. Starr told her.
If you say so. Marigold touched her chair.
It began to shrink, smaller and smaller until...
Oh, they couldn't see it anymore.
I shrank my bed and now I have to sleep on an air mattress, Marigold said. And I shrank my grandpa's car and now he has to use his bicycle. This year I hope I can learn how to make things big again, or at least control the shrinkage.
You're kidding, scoffed Bax, the rude boy who wouldn't show his magic. You shrink things, which basically ruins them, and you don't know how to fix them?
Ms. Starr clapped her hands. She doesn't know how yet. That's something we can work on, Marigold. Marigold bit her lip and nodded. Then, since her chair was too small to see, she sat down on the floor.
Willa, you're next, said Ms. Starr.
The girl who rose from her desk was like a blonde white elf, made of pointy elbows and knees. Her hair was a pale, shiny curtain, and her mouth was full of braces.
I make it rain, she said.
Willa is another upside-down flare, said Ms. Starr. Elliot, isn't that interesting?
Can you light fires? Elliot asked. Willa shook her head.
No.
Let's try to talk in positives, said Ms. Starr. You do rain at present, and I'm sure you'll do more as you develop. Do we need umbrellas?
Willa nodded.
Again, I am prepared, Ms. Starr proclaimed.
She strode to the group of yellow umbrellas leaning in the corner. Then she handed one to each student.
We're ready, Willa, she called out.
Nori felt her depression lift a little. If Willa could make rain, that was important. She could help crops grow, bring plants to barren deserts, help animals. A rain talent could be really useful. It might be very unusual, but no one could fairly call it wonky. She got her umbrella open just in time. Rain poured from the ceiling, drenching the room and running in small rivers from everyone's umbrellas.
The floor is wet, said Elliot.
And the carpet, said Marigold.
And all our papers, said Bax, and the books.
It's kind of awesome, though, Nori murmured, admiring a raindrop on the toe of her sneaker.
Is it? Said Andres. Really?
His umbrella was inverted and filled with rain. It had become heavy and was pulling his upper body down while his feet stayed on the ceiling. He was soaked. Willa turned the rain off.
Sorry, she said. It never ends well. I can only do it indoors, so it's kinda worthless.
Positives, remember? Said Ms. Starr. Every day is an adventure, and Willa has a remarkable and unusual talent. We'll get the janitor in here. And, Andres, I'll see if I can get you dry clothes.
She picked up the classroom phone and made a call. After she hung up, she said,
Problem solved, but let's all bring in spare things to keep in our lockers, okay?
The days will go smoother that way with Willa and Marigold and Elliot among us. The flare classrooms all have to do the same, you know. And they need burn ointment, so we should count ourselves lucky.
I can totally light fires, said Elliot. You just didn't give me a chance to show it.
Everyone closed their umbrellas and stood awkwardly around the wet desks.
It's down to you, Bax, said Ms. Starr, smiling at the one student who hadn't yet shown his magic. Are you ready to share?
No, Bax said.
Come on, Bax, Ms. Starr said. She was firm but friendly. We will all support you, and we will help you become your best self. The spirit of the UDM classroom is trust.
I don't think I should, Bax insisted.
I disagree. We can start by talking. I know from your papers that you're an unusual fluxer, like Nori, right? Nori showed us a very interesting... Ms. Starr gave Nori a smile. What was it?
A bitten, said Nori. A beaver kitten?
A lovely bitten, said Ms. Starr. And after that, I think we're prepared to handle anything. So, Bax?
Bax cradled his head in his hands.
Whenever you're ready, Ms. Starr said.
Fine,
he mumbled. Nori heard a whoosh as Bax turned into a tremendous chunk of rock. The floor shook as he crashed off his chair and onto the floor.
Whoa, Willa said.
That was a great sound wave, Sebastian added.
He's a rock, Nori said, astonished. She had never known a fluxer to become a rock, a plant, or anything that wasn't an animal. She couldn't quite believe it.
He's really something, said Ms. Starr. She hopped off her desk and walked around Bax, admiring the thoroughness of his transformation.
Very good, Bax. All rock, no boy. How do you feel?
Bax just sat there. Ms. Starr laughed.
Okay, you've proved your point. Change back, please.
Bax just sat there.
Bax? Ms. Starr shook him. Fiddlesticks. I think he's stuck.
It took four people to roll him down the hallway to the medical office. Nurse Riley was a pudgy gentleman who wore scrubs decorated with unicorns. He seemed surprised to see Bax, but confident. He promised to have him fixed up before lunch was over. Nori followed the rest of her classmates on the way to the cafeteria.
This is upside-down magic class, she thought. A freezer, a fierce, a girl who shrinks things, a girl who wets things, a boy who sees sound waves, two wonky fluxers, and a flyer who can't come down from the ceiling.
Nori took her 100th deep breath of the day. She wanted to look on the bright side, but from where she was standing, she didn't see much of one at all.